This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's that trim, healthy podcast, and we are belching with Booch this morning.
Not belching.
John brought us some.
I'm not, but he is.
Fantastic kombucha from a lady-owned company called Boochie. Why do we have to point out that it's lady-owned? I don't know. It's the pressure of society.
Because John likes
No, because
that.
The back of it says, woman founded fiercely independent.
These are fierce women.
No, but listen, the reason why John brought it to us, I believe, not only is it incredibly flavored peach ginger molasses. Hey, we're not even trying to sell this, but it's the name of it was Sovereign. And that's John's nickname, Sovereign.
John brought us some
drinking
Sovereign
booch, and we're eating Peter Rabbit carrots while we speak to you today, and we're going to do a superfood spotlight all on.
And why? Because we always love our Peter Rabbit carrots for a good old snack.
I know, but
we take the church.
Shereen and I both brought them, and we didn't know. We turned up with Peter Rabbit carrots.
The
because
problem with taking it to church, though, is you're left with the nub in your hand, and you can't really get up and walk past all the pews to go dump it into the trash in the back. You've already used the excuse to go to the bathroom. Now you've got the nub. And what do you do with
it? What do you do with the nub? I don't eat that nub.
And what if you don't have a pocket?
Do you eat the nub?
I throw the nub in the hatch.
Down the throat?
Yeah, I do.
Have you ever eaten a carrot nub? And by nub, we mean that the bottom, right, where the roots stick out. But Leslie said that's not the bottom, that's the top. Because she's a carrot grower.
Because it's attached to the tops, the carrot
And she's
tops.
Like, the top sticks out of the earth and that's where the greens
but
come
listen,
in.
There's no argument there.
I don't mind a good nub from a fresh garden carrot, but you get a little bit of a bitter. There could be a little bit of bacteria in the old nub, eh?
And it's probably good.
I just take it during the church service.
Yeah. About the nub, that's the epicenter.
It's part of your.
Well, you don't know what to do
experience.
With it. You could sit on it, but then it might be left when you stand up. You've got no pocket. You're in a bit of a bind.
So you just like eat the
and
carrot
And I'm not
nub.
A purse girl. I don't carry a purse.
True.
And I thought of throwing it in the bottom of my diaper bag.
Most people
that's
are picturing
gross.
A person eating a big Peter Rabbit carrot in a church service.
Yes.
Most churches, you wouldn't do that, but in the Hilltop
I wait till
church.
After worship.
During the sermon, she's crunching people.
Yes, and you could put a very intelligent face on while you're crunching that makes the person preaching think, she's really mulling over this thought.
You can only do that at your dad's church when you're your dad's daughter.
Let's be honest, though. The carrot is the crunch you didn't know you needed. Life,
but
right?
Let's save this for the superfood spotlight, people, and let's just get on with it.
Oh, we're superfood and carrots?
Yeah, we are later on.
Fine.
I wanted to bring just a little morsel of food for thought, I guess. It's just something to discuss. Like, this is not necessarily a topic. It's just going to, let's see what happens with it.
Yeah.
And maybe just something to change the way you think about yourself.
Like I do for homeschooling sometimes, I'll give like half a sentence at the top of the page.
Yes.
And then let's just see where their creativity leads. We don't know where today will lead people.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't. So I, how I got onto this all, do I have to tell the subject?
Yes, you do. I really enjoyed
okay.
it.
So I love sweet potatoes lately and I've been trying to, well, I'll be highlighting a lot of sweet potatoes in my book, Trim Healthy Wisdom, coming out new year, hopefully. Oh, John's going to spank me.
Can I talk about the fact that you made one yesterday for me? A Japanese sweet potato?
Yes.
She picked me up for a meeting. She always has to pick me up because I'm like the little sister that always gets taken everywhere. Yeah. And on her little dash of her car was like just two little lonely sweet potatoes by themselves, not in a container with a little pat of butter on the side or a little, little Greek yogurt faux sour cream. No, nothing. Just two. They weren't even on a plate. They're just on her dash.
Yes.
Like, that's interesting. She goes, yes, I brought us a snack. And she was beaming with pride. But so I was thinking, that would be interesting.
I said, we don't allow to eat them with anything. We have to eat them alone because it's like this, it's the test of the Japanese sweet potato.
To see how sweet they are. Well, I tell you what, when you let them cool,
yes,
and it was like eating a giant medjool date. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
It is. So Japanese
it
sweet
like it,
potatoes
felt like it, tasted like it.
Are a phenomenal thing.
Do they look like a sweet
they're
potato
sort
on
of,
picture?
No, they've sort of got a purpley reddish skin and on the inside they're gold.
Are they sold at Kroger?
I got this at Whole Foods. They okay. might be sold at Kroger.
They're sort of a specialty then?
I'm sure that Leslie Pops might have grown some. I don't know. She has. Oh, she's only grown purple. No, these are not purple inside. These are golden. Now, what you have to do, you put them in your, this is for it to get caramelized and like a medjool date, the sweetest, creamiest texture on the inside. Okay?
Amazing. Like the best food for a toddler.
Yes. Mm. And just so full. These sweet potatoes are full of, even more full of all the good things that regular
and
sweet potatoes
are. And it was so sweet, but like lower glycemic.
Yes, very low glycemic, but just sweet. So what you do is you put them in your oven for 375 for a good size one for an hour and a half. You don't put coals in them. These ones don't explode.
Yay.
Interesting.
I never put holes in anyway. I just let things explode.
Okay.
I agree.
So take them out, let them cool completely. Then you can put them in your fridge or mine were just sort of room temperature and I took them to Serene and then it was our break and like, come on, Serene, let's try
I had
this.
A little protein in my bag. Just so
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she did. We sipped her protein drink. I'm telling you, Danny, you have to try this. It rocks your world. You have a food experience just eating something as is. No salt, no pepper, no sweetener. You just delight
now,
in this.
Now, what's the special way to make them? You said caramelize or
you get, just bake them for an hour and a half.
Got it.
About. On 350?
About 350-ish for an hour and a half. Yeah, okay. You could do 375, but that might be a bit too much. Now, and then let them cool.
Is the Japanese sweet potato, would you reckon, the healthiest? Is it your fave?
I honestly don't. I think they all offer something
apples
different.
Apples and oranges, okay.
Yeah, like the orange sweet potato gives you more beta carotene. The purple Got sweet it. Potato gives you more xanthanins. They're all good.
Try a new one every night.
Yeah.
Yes?
But I tell you what, it was like, you know, because I love a good medjool date, but the problem is you eat more than one and you know you're just spiking your blood sugar.
You know.
I mean, unless it's Christmas Day, it's a lot.
And medjool dates have had the water excreted from them, so they're very high carb, very high sugar.
Right, which I don't mind occasionally to pop one in my mouth before a workout in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Like I haven't eaten, I'm just like, oh, gotta get. So that's fine, I'm working it off. But this way I was allowed to have like one that went to heaven and came back.
And it's a longer experience.
And it's immortalized body, the medjool date. Yeah.
And it's bigger, you know?
Yeah.
So you get like, I don't know.
It's immortalized body.
You get 20 good bites or something.
Oh,
or
oh yeah. Way more.
And I usually love sweet potato skins. This is so funny. But I wasn't loving these particular ones. I was just loving the innards. So I'd take the skin off and put it on the table. Serene would pounce on it and put it in her mouth. It was like a little spider coming out to pounce on a fly each time I put
hey,
these
talk
skins
about
down.
The embarrassment of eating a carrot in church. We were eating the sweet potato in a meeting with a food scientist.
Yes, we were.
It was hilarious. I don't even think we explained ourselves.
No, we didn't.
We kept on going on our own rant about how delicious medjooly they were.
Anyway, all that to say, so I've been doing a lot of study about sweet potatoes, all potatoes actually. Got onto different sites and different, you know, Facebook groups and all that, people that love to do things with sweet potatoes. And I got directed to this YouTube.
Can I just pause for a second?
You might.
I have to. Just to be narcissist and talk about Pearl for a second. I mean.
No, that's not narcissism.
I know, but it's
yourself.
Us. You're part of us.
Oh,
you're part of,
so I'm you.
Yeah. You know, it's just like you and I are a team. So it's a little bit narcissist. It's half narcissist. Well, when we were growing up.
This is called codependent, just so
codependent
you know.
Narcissism. Yeah. Okay, so when we were growing up, Pearl was always a spy. The whole family, that was, they knew that she was a spy. She knew who was dating who, when they kissed, everything. She would be found underneath the vehicles of our older brothers, you know, on the day and knowing, and then she would spread the word. I saw, I found out.
No, I would go
kissed
into
so-and-so last night.
When they were awake, they had bunk beds and I'd slide under the bunk bed so that early in the morning, about 4 a.m., so that when they woke up, I would be there when they discussed
yes, discuss the matters of life. And so she knew everything about everybody. She was, and she had this high squeaky voice and then she would tell it with a high squeaky voice. So it was her 50th birthday the other night and we all got up doing family speeches and everybody got up and remembering these incredible spy adventures. And it was just kind of like the theme of the night. Yeah, Pearl's the spy. And I got up and I said, you know what? Things haven't changed because Pearl is still a spy. She gets on groups and gets on forums. For you guys, basically, because she really wants to have information. She wants the guts of the information.
Under a secret name.
And she's
name.
Always on
oh,
a secret
I've got
name.
Secret
she
names,
goes
mate.
On like guys' testosterone, like low testosterone forums.
But she goes on as a bro.
As a bro. Yeah. And with a name. What are you? What? Steven?
No,
I've got so many names. I'm not sharing any of them.
Can you share any retired names?
And
you
she will go
anymore?
On all kinds of things. And she's a faux name. And she just, because she's like, you need to know the information through people's experiences. Groups are where you find them. So she's got so many disguised names. Mm. And so when she was talking about it, she was on groups. I had to just plug that.
Yeah, I was on. So I got led to this YouTube. And it was by this guy by Andrew Taylor. His name is Spud Fit. If you haven't heard of him, he's an Aussie. And
not that we agree with every way that he lost his weight.
No, I know, but you can learn from everybody, right? Yeah. And he did turn his health around. I wouldn't advocate doing what he did. It's not our plan at all. But he was successful and he was desperate.
Hey, even the Subway guy was successful.
Yes.
He got off all his fried junk and went to Subway.
Yeah, it's way better than... Okay, so I'll tell you what he did. But my whole premise of my little morsel of thought today was something that Spud Fit said. Anyways, Australian. He curses, but he's sort of cool. I liked him. I liked hearing his story. His story was very moving. It moved me to tears.
He probably sounded like a great uncle from down
yeah,
under.
Yeah, yeah. And he was a guy that was an athlete who was in his younger years, but he was always bigger than all the other athlete friends. He was very fit. He was a kayaker. He was one of Australia's best in high school and then in college. He was like, but he couldn't go to the Olympics. He wasn't quite there because he carried extra weight. He couldn't get down to where he needed to be to absolutely be the best. And then I believe what happened, he probably wouldn't listen to our party, but I might have got things wrong. I believe he injured himself or something happened where he could no longer kayak, started putting serious weight on. And then, got married, had a child, things, he got depressed. Many things happened in his life, but he ended up well over 100 pounds overweight and not fit anymore. And he was very...
You said when he was fit and just couldn't get... It was just 40 over at that.
Yeah, at that point, but he ended up... very, very, very in a bad place. And he was an addict of eating, a compulsive eater. He'd turned to eating for comfort, for many things. And it was a cycle. He would try things. He'd do this diet. He'd like, well, I'm going to get back into fitness. I'm an athlete. I can do this. And then he'd turn, it'd be back to pizza, back to beer. And finally he got to the end of it and he's like, I'm an addict. Okay. So he's like, other addicts, they go to AA Anonymous and all these things. And it's like, well, they tell them don't drink. So they don't drink ever again. He's like, but I can't stop eating.
Because I'll die.
I can't stop. I have to eat. So what am I going to do? So he said, okay, I'm going to take all my choices away from me. I can't do choices. I'm going to eat one food.
And this is what we're not advocating.
I'm not promoting this, but I'm just saying this is what happened. This is his story, guys. I'm going to eat one food. So he started researching what food can you live on? Because I want to take choices. I want my life to be simple. I basically don't want to eat, but I want to live, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he looked around. What is the food that can sustain you? What has sustained people in civilizations past when they had no other food?
Like the depression.
Let me guess, astronaut ice cream.
I'm sure, Danny. No. He looked it up and he found out it was the potato.
The potato.
Both sweet potatoes. Some civilizations have sustained themselves on sweet. Like people in Papua New Guinea and that island off Japan, the Okinawans, things like that. And then the Irish, the white potato, many potatoes.
Well, during the Depression, there was families that was just.
And these people, and then he looked at the study of these athletes. So they decided, it was back in the 1940s or something, he decided to go on a potato diet for 6 months and see what would happen. And they were all fine at the beginning of the end. He's like, okay, well, I can do potatoes. So he said, for 3 months, I will only eat potatoes. If I'm hungry, I will eat a potato, both sweet and regular. I am not allowed to eat anything else. I'm going to take all my choices away. The only thing I'm allowed to do is maybe have a little ketchup. I'm not even allowed to eat vegetables. That's crazy, right? But he's like, no. He went to his doctor, said, can I do this? He's like, you have to eat vegetables. He said, I'm not going to. And he said, well, okay, we'll monitor your blood work. We'll be very, very careful. So he started. He got 3 months in. He dropped a lot of weight, even eating a lot of potatoes, both sweet, because he needed the sweet for all the beta carotene and regular. Oh, no, he did different. He did amazing things with potatoes, and now he's got books about it, right? Yeah. 3 months in, and then he decided he was just doing this on his own. His wife supported him, said, long as you do it with a doctor's supervision, we'll check your blood, His blood work got better.
Because he was off the beer and the pizza.
Off the beer and the pizza, of course.
Yeah.
But he was
like we said, we're not condoning this
exactly
diet.
I'm not telling anyone
desperate.
To do this. He was desperate. He got 3 months in. He decided, well, this is actually working for me. I guess his wife said, why don't you do a little blog, tell your friends and stuff what you're doing, because so many people are asking. He's like, did it. He put it out overnight. Like, he's no one. His friends saw it. They shared it. Overnight, he woke up and he had thousands of emails that had gone viral. TV stations wanting to talk to him. This guy that had done 3 months. And so he, you know, he started, well, these people want to talk to me. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm doing. And a bunch of people went against him, like, this guy's going to ruin himself and stuff. And he's like, well, I'm doing well. I'm feeling great. I'm dropping weight. I'm going to keep it up for a year. So for 1 year, he ate only potatoes.
He didn't dress it up with anything.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He was allowed to use spices, salt and pepper, and maybe a little bit of ketchup, or, you know, he's Australian. Yeah. A little bit of tomato sauce, he said.
Yeah.
There's not a protein issue here?
No, well that's what they were worried about.
But this, he was desperate.
He no longer just does this, Danny. He eats other foods now, but he eats whole foods now.
It was like an AA. He had to get off the alcohol, meaning he had to get off.
This is an extreme.
And he said it is extreme. And he said, people say I'm extreme. And he said, I was an extreme place. He said, some of the best people in the world have done extreme things. He said, I know what I needed. I'm not telling other people they have to do this, but this is what I did. So 1 year.
Yeah.
He got.
I can think of 1,000 healthier ways. But that's not the point.
It's not the point. 1 year, he got completely healthy. All his blood work was actually fantastic. He dropped well over 100 pounds. He got into exercise again. His depression lifted. I mean, he cured his eating addiction. And then once it was done, he pulled in some other foods. And, you know, it might not be the way Serena and I would advocate, for sure, especially for women, especially for the season we're in. But, okay. He's a healthy
especially
man now.
Especially because God designed so many wonderful foods because we need them.
But he was broken and he healed himself in his way. But all that to say, when I listened to his YouTube, you know, I was moved to tears at times just because he really talked a lot about his thought processes. And he said, I always thought of myself as a broken guy. Something was wrong with me. I wanted to overeat and I wanted to turn to the foods that were wrong. And I knew there was something wrong with me. I wasn't right. Look at all those other people that could just stop, you know? Look at those people that really wanted to eat just lean chicken and salad. It wasn't me, you know? And so, and then he said, I had this thought one day as I was beginning my process and I was getting better, that I'm actually not broken. I'm actually have a special gift. My gift is my love for food. Like if I'd been a couple of thousand years ago and I was in a tribe and we were wandering around, right, and had no food, and perhaps there was a donut or an avocado tree or something, I would go there and I would figure out how to plant 100 donut trees because I love food so much. I would be the one that
save the food for the planet.
Save the food because I have a gift for food.
That's so good.
And I actually am drawn to all these foods, but that's not a broken thing. That's a good thing because now I know I've got a special talent. Now I'm going to use it in the right way, right?
So huge.
And so it really helped him because he stopped looking at himself as this guy with the big eating addiction brokenness problem. Yeah. And he looked at himself as this awesome guy.
He actually has a superpower.
Superpower guy. And it's interesting, like, because you've actually done that to yourself, Danny.
Totally.
Like, all my brokenness. No, they're superpowers,
it's a superpower.
Right?
I have a high-octane machine that doesn't accept garbage.
Yes, exactly. Like
sorry
you think,
for you guys.
Like you think,
you
oh, Danny, you know, I can't eat
it.
That. You know, my stomach is just gets rotten. But you're like, no, my machine tells me.
Yeah.
Aren't I awesome?
Speaks to me that night.
You guys is all machine. You don't have like feedback loops, but I do.
Yeah. If I eat too much pizza, I look like a 7-month pregnant person.
Yeah.
And I'm in pain and I'm nauseated. And it's like, what is that? Is that a weakness or is that a superpower, man?
I know. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, you know what, too? You know, Lisa and I didn't touch.
Mrs. Valdez.
Not a
piece.
Finger on the shoulder until we were engaged.
All right. Oh, you didn't touch one another?
Not.
Oh, because you were doing a special,
extreme temporary.
Yeah, let's not get too much tension, sexual tension here.
Yeah.
Because we want to save ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a temporary extreme thing.
Yeah.
For us, custom.
And then you could pull things in slowly.
Yeah.
What imagery? I don't know.
Okay. I wasn't going there.
Yeah, you went there.
I didn't go there.
I was trying not to go there. Sorry.
No, I just meant, you know, there wasn't a finger on the shoulder. So now they're engaged. Maybe they can hold hands.
Okay.
I was to the pure old things. Okay. Pure peeps.
Yeah.
Are we leaving that in? Okay.
Good on you, mate.
It goes above the kids' minds.
Good
All
on
right.
You,
so there's a point to this, right?
The point is I'm relating. It reminded me from this guy's story who did an extreme thing that wasn't the law for everyone to do. It was his personal thing that he, I mean, changed so much in his mentality. I mean, we learned so much from it.
Right, Danny. And perhaps because what your background you came from, right?
Oh, yeah.
Memphis, hood, drugs, sex, all that went along with that. You had a different sort of upbringing. And so you come to this pure woman and you're like, I need to do something completely different here.
Yeah. And it was crazy because both of us felt like we wanted to do that, but separately. And we were sort of nervous to tell the other and like disappoint the other one, but we both felt it.
It was an extreme thing, but maybe because of, you know, people could do that. But I didn't have that past, so I don't feel like I needed to do that sort of thing. But you look at Andrew and Spudfit and he needed to do something extreme, right?
Yeah.
But I love the point. I love the point about I'm not broken. And it even just helps me, even though I'm not really worried about me. But sometimes I've thought, boy, like, you know, you think about food a lot, Serene. You really, like, after the one meal's done, you're imagining, you're creating it in your mind.
Me too.
Before you're creating it with your hands. But it's not a broken thing. I have an eye for food art.
Yes.
And so that's okay, right?
This is what
you know, he said. And I can totally sort of gel with this. He's like, you know, other people, if we're living back 2,000 of years, because maybe, you know, I've got friends, they don't think about food and they forget their meals. And he's like, I've never done that in my life. Well, I feel the same way. He's like, they might have died off. I'd be living because I'm thinking about my next meal. I'm thinking about the food and maybe they wouldn't have survived. But Andrew, he would have because he'd be planting the donut trees, you know.
So interesting how different brains are wired too. Like we need those people who, to me, look like they're obsessing about food.
Yeah.
Because I'm the guy on the other extreme.
Yeah, who you do forget.
I forget until I'm sick.
You need someone else to plant the donut tree.
Yeah, but I'm the donut guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the avocado.
And Serena and I,
the avocado,
you know, I look at us because sometimes I've had those same thoughts, Serena. Yeah. I'm obsessed with food. Literally, I never forget a meal. And when I'm finished my next meal.
You're planning the next?
I am planning like you. Yes. And I'm imagining and I go to bed at night thinking about food.
Oh.
And all the time. Like sometimes last night I was thinking about this Okinawan brothy miso soup and I was going to have it with a little pile of rice next to it. And I was so excited to wake up the next day.
Yeah.
And that could be sort of like, I could look at myself like, you have a problem, Pearl. Or I could look at myself, all of that brought you to be so passionate about food. You and I, Serene.
Yes.
That we wrote these books and we keep creating these recipes and we can't stop.
And we're helping and bringing joy.
Yeah.
And so maybe instead of looking at ourselves as, broken addicts of thinking about food, like maybe there's like a synapse that's a little bit wrong, you know, but got something wrong with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't know how to keep flowing on to another subject. Or maybe it's like, no, maybe we're just so filled with joy in that. And maybe other people don't have enough joy in that area.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the broken type.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is.
But it's just our superpower.
Yeah, exactly.
In this analogy, you're the donut tree groomer.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to I'd like to do the avocado tree for my brain space.
Let's not do your donut tree.
You can picture the avocado.
Yes. But it's so true because I feel like, and it's not just like, I don't overeat. I mean, sometimes I do, but it's not because I'm overeating. It's because I could look at it like, yes, it's broken, but I could also see that, hey, because of this superpower, I always have an on-plan snack in my bag. Mm-hmm. I always have a snack for other people in my bag.
Yeah, you do.
Because
I so
carrot.
Think about the next food. I'm also thinking about the next snack.
She just threw, Danny. I went to your house on Sunday. Remember, I walked over and as soon as I got there, Serene's like, Pearl, come see the bread, the loaf of bread I made on Shabbat. Like, look at this, pull it apart. Oh, see, I put some dried fruit in there because it was special, Pearl.
Organic tart cherries.
And we were just oohing and ahhing over this bread that Serene made. It was her baby. She was proud of it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of anything I would rather have been doing than looking at her bread and sampling it.
Oh, my greatest chai tea to date.
Yeah.
Is 2005,
yeah.
Serene's living room.
Oh, yeah.
When her upstairs was a construction site. her house, you just built the house you're in now.
You helped Sam build that house. You were there, man, hanging doors.
Yeah.
I have to go pee. So don't talk too wonderful things while I'm gone.
Okay. Well, we're here, Danny.
But yeah, that was my favorite chai tea that I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had a better.
Serena is one of the most creative people I know with food. That's why her recipes have a million ingredients. And she's like, well, no, that's just a little bit of flavor. You know, yeah. She's like, that's nothing to her. That's her delight.
But Serene pounds like fistfuls of superfood powders.
Yes, yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Pounds them.
Yeah. What? Are you as much that way?
Oh, no. No, I have to. I'm not so much. I have to force myself to like structure myself to take them where it's her delight
what's the
to
difference?
Take
you
them.
Think, because I
forget to take them and then I'm like force myself and I have to get on a regimen where I write it all down or I'll forget.
How important is the, you know, containers of tubs of powders of superfoods?
I don't know.
You?
I think some of them are beneficial. I don't know. I think they just take you to the next step. I just think they're the Serene's love language or your
it's more
or
of
your
a
containers
love.
Of your superfoods that you pound.
Well, and just the idea of one person who literally doesn't have any and then another person who has five containers of the top yeah. powderized
but even before I even had a little spare change to buy them, it was still my love. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, because it'll be like, what do you want for Christmas, Serene? And it'll be a list of superfoods. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about a dress.
No,
I
back then
care
it was
about
like
a necklace.
Whey protein, please. We didn't have the money to buy it. So yes. Put it on my Christmas list.
Yes, exactly. But you know, another way to see that as not a brokenness is just that, hey, I'm seeking out what God has provided on the mm-hmm. earth. Isn't that like, that's a, you're a adventurer, not a spy, but you're
explorer.
A explorer. There
Dora.
You go. Dora the Explorer. Yeah. So if you're listening and you've thought that you were broken too,
yeah,
there's another way to look at it.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
So carrots, they are a superfood. They're just so simple and they're just so humble and they've been around like they're everywhere.
Sometimes we overlook them because they're too normal.
Yeah.
But lately I've been eating them every day and, you know, cooked carrots are fine, I think, but for the superfood part of carrots,
yes,
I think that we should really look at the raw carrot.
And the raw carrot's so much more versatile for me because I feel like it's more Switzerland
mm-hmm.
because it's not heavy on the starches.
Right.
The starch that you eat inside of the raw carrot is so hard to break down. It's
yeah.
not a quick blood sugar.
So we consider rising. Carrot one medium, you know, like Peter Rabbit carrot, a
yeah.
good carrot, not baby ones. One medium, still a fuel pull.
Yes.
Because it's just like eating some strawberries. It's got yeah. It is a little more starchy than maybe other things like cauliflower. But it won't interfere
but in its
with
raw
your next
state.
Meal.
I don't
raw
believe
state,
so. Yeah.
It is a little bit, but it's still non-starchy.
Right.
And when you, and it takes so long to eat. When you eat cooked carrots, you can eat so much more of them.
Oh, yes.
Quickly.
And the
know?
Great thing I love about the carrots, before we get onto all the nutrition and the vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and all the wonderful benefits for your health, they benefit your budget for your food because they're cheap.
Yeah.
They're inexpensive and they're such a bridge. Like if I'm starved
yeah.
and I know I don't want to wreck my meal. If I eat something normal right now, like with a fuel in it, I'll yeah. wreck my meal. And so if I just have a giant baby carrot.
While you're cooking, right?
Yes.
That's what I do.
It really, it helps my brain be totally focused on.
No, not a baby carrot. A giant.
No, a giant one.
Baby carrot?
No, a giant.
Oh, a giant carrot.
Bunny
yeah.
carrot.
Bunny, yeah.
Yeah, bunny carrot.
But, and the reason we're talking about carrots today for our superfood spotlight is because we just mentioned them the other day. And then I saw on Facebook so many people like, I'm eating my Peter Rabbit carrot that Serene talked about. So if you guys are starting to buy carrots again, we wanted to talk about how, why, and what. Okay?
And if you have children in your house and you just run out of ideas for snacks, and we might have
yeah,
talked about that
we
when
did.
We originally. Yeah, it's the best. Throw a carrot. They say, well, I'm not hungry for that. Well, they ain't hungry.
Yeah. So here's the deal. If you can help it, don't buy pre-peeled baby carrots because the peel is on the carrot. That's what protects the growth of gram-negative bacteria, according to Dr. Tom and O'Brien. So when they're peeled, they can sit in your fridge and they can grow this bacteria, which is not so great.
Have you ever noticed baby carrots are peeled once? They get a little
slimy
on the packet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I used to enjoy baby carrots. And listen, you're still getting some benefits from the carrot. But these days, a bag of organic carrots yeah. in my fridge is my best friend. Two
the
bags.
The flavor profile of a big Peter Rabbit carrot
yep.
is so much more complex.
It is.
With the baby carrots, I only taste cotton candy sweet. I don't taste all of the nuances that God put in a real big carrot. I feel like you have to lay longer in the soil to get it.
And it takes so long to eat. So you really get a good eating experience. You get to chew. You burn calories. Do you know you burn calories when you chomp? It's really good for you. It's
carrots
good for your jawline.
Best movie taker.
They're movie food.
And then you get the addiction. You're like, everyone else is going downstairs for another slice of something naughty. And you're like, please just bring up the bag of carrots.
Yeah. And so there's amazing nutrients in the peel too. Yes. So if you can get organic, I don't wash them out of the organic bag. I just shove them in my mouth.
Exactly. And if you have a garden, you don't even need to wash them. You don't even need to.
Even the little bit of soil is good
for you, right? Yeah, just dust them off and shove it down the hatch.
Yeah. Now, carrots, you know, I mean, you've heard a lot about carrots. They're good for your eyes, right? Why? So many different things. But vitamin A, do you know that one carrot has more than twice the dose of the vitamin A that you need? Now, vitamin A is very interesting because you get vitamin A in a supplement.
It's actually synthetic.
It can be synthetic and can be harmful to you.
Toxic.
Yes.
Yes.
But you get the vitamin A in a carrot. It is so good for you.
Yes.
And heals your eyes. It prevents glaucoma. It does so many things. It helps your night vision. And then you've got all that beta carotene. A carrot is orange for a reason.
Yeah.
It says eat me.
Totally. It says eat me. I love the fact that it actually has the vitamin K in a carrot.
It does.
And that's something that we really, 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 really need, vitamin K, especially.
I don't know if it's K2 though, Serene, but it's K, and that's super important.
Yes, it is. It is. It's K1 is what it is. But it's so wonderful. Actually, it not only helps your eyes, Pearl, it helps the brain.
Yes, it does.
It really does. It improves brain power. And that's why I love to give it to my children. Yep. Like that halfway point in the morning with school and they're getting snackish. Not going to reach for another cheese on toast. They're having a big baby carrot. Big,
and I'm telling you carrots are huge at reducing inflammation. They did a study where they gave people at least one big carrot a day and their headache frequency went down. Their joint pain went down. Here's the big thing for us women. Carrots, there's a special fiber in carrots that detox harmful estrogens in our body. And so there's this big thing called, you know, your raw carrot estrogen detox. So you can do it every day. Some people do it every day if they believe they're estrogen dominant. But basically, you have to do a raw carrot. You want it to be organic. You want to keep the peel on. Just grate it. Put it with some apple cider vinegar. I do like a teaspoon, if I want to be fuel-pull, a teaspoon of tahini.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go up further if you want to, you know, take it into S. I'd love to do just a handful of raisins. Oh my goodness, a little bit of Bragg's. That carrot salad is so amazing. I don't do it every day, but I do enjoy it.
You know, and another thing about the carrots, you know, people say, oh, I have to have a banana for my potassium. Carrots are super high in potassium.
Yeah.
They are. And another thing is it improves your teeth.
Yes, it does.
It does. It actually, because there's so much chewing that needs to go on with the big Peter Rabbit carrots, and it helps get rid of plaque and food particles from the teeth, and it stimulates saliva by stimulating the gums.
Yes, it does.
Which really helps with teeth. And also, it gives you a better jawline.
It does, because you exercise it.
Yes.
You know, some people that you know, a modern diet, right? We're all just eating like soft stuff all the time out of like a packet or something like that. And so some groups of people actually go and they buy these huge mounds of gum to exercise because people are getting receding jawlines because they're not eating the way we used to.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they have to go exercise their mouth with really, really huge amounts of gum just so they can get their jawline.
Or they
back.
Buy that thing off of Amazon. My boys have it, that jaw strengthener.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't need
all
it because of my
bread.
All you
need to do is eat a carrot. Carrots also excrete bacterial poisons called endotoxins. Carrots are so good for your gut. Their special fiber can actually help heal leaky gut.
I want to just finish that, what I said about, you know, it stimulates saliva and you'll be like, well, what is that? How does that help with the teeth? And I wanted to finish that point.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Saliva formation, it's very beneficial for keeping cavity forming bacteria away and or under control because, you know, it's that dry mouth thing where the saliva is not fully moving around your mouth where all the little bacteria starts to grow. Yeah.
There's a study that showed that This is why carrots are actually good for weight loss and good for your bowels at the same time. A study showed a 50% increase in fecal bile acid. That means you poop it out, right? And fat, 50% more fat was pooped out of study subjects who consumed raw carrots in the day. That's huge.
Yeah.
These findings suggested a change in metabolism, actual metabolism, and bacterial flora in your gut for the benefit.
Yeah. It helps with menstrual issues, Pearl, too. And I wonder if that's for the similar reason why it helps with that special fiber that helps with
and
the estrogens.
Anyone with endometriosis, painful periods,
and hot flashes from premenopausal women,
you
it helps with that,
you want to be eating
too.
Your daily carrot. Just like, you know, they say apple a day keeps the doctor away. Yeah. I believe it's the carrot, too.
Yeah. It's good for your eye, your hair, your skin, and your teeth.
Yeah, our skin is huge. Yeah. It has beautifying skin things. We could go on and on and on and on, but here's what it does. This is a biggie, Serene. It detoxes xenoestrogens, and these are this bisphenol A, BPA. You know the cans that we buy in the grocery store?
Yes.
We try to use BPA-free ones, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of cans, you just don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
And carrots detox that.
I love that. I love that. And it's just so easy. It's not something that you have to go and order off the internet, some superfood that's just like, it's just right there at the corner of every store. Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Do you think that people who are food artists can, hear this out for a minute.
Yeah.
You know how like your superpower, your gift, the thing that you're amazing at, often when you're young is the thing you're screwing up the most?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's your gift and your curse. That's what
he was
saying.
It's your gift and your curse,
yeah.
Right? Do you think that people who are food artists can often tend to become overweight because they're not pointing their gift in the right direction?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think so many people that are food explorers or food lovers and food artists, their gift is just being misused. It was designed for something, but it's just been pointed
in the wrong
manner. They've
watched the wrong cooking show.
Yeah,
and they get all excited about the buttery fat out of balance.
Right.
Yes,
because their brain is very wired to want the fats and the calories and all that.
Where's your cooking show?
You know, but once it's pointed in the right direction, I think it can be fabulous. And then you're the person that now is helping others, like Andrew Spudfit. Now he's like speaking all over the world and he's inspiring many people.
His name cannot be Spudfit.
It's Spudfit. Spuds is what you call them in Australia.
And if you've got like 150% joy of food, like it's over the top.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got extra to give away. You know, some people that would just like to have a pill and swallow it and still survive.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're meant to rev him up a bit.
You're like the food fairy.
Yeah, exactly.
I love something else he said, and I was listening to this presentation. He said this, and this is something Serena and I have talked about here before, and we talked about in our I'm That Girl book coming out hopefully this fall of 2021. Then the voices in our head that we hear and we listen to and we believe that they're just our thoughts, and so we label ourselves with, you know, I have some pretty awful thoughts and my, you know, and we believe the thoughts because we think we're having them and we believe ourselves most of the time, right? You know, we've talked about it before.
Well, if we don't believe the thoughts, we believe we're evil for thinking about them.
Yeah. And there's this lady called, I forget her name, but she wrote the book Life Without Ed. And Ed stands for eating disorder. And psychologists, they say Ed is a person, it's a persona in the head. It's eating disorder and it tells people things that are not true in their heads. It says you are fat. It says you have to eat less than 500 calories. It says so many lies, right? And so many anorexics. A certain form of therapy is teaching them to identify Ed in their head and then divorce themselves from him, stop listening to him, and disobey him.
Right. But me as a believer, I know exactly who Ed is.
Yeah, Satan. Yeah. He's the accuser. Satan's a liar, and he can come in many, many different voices in our heads, right? But it's good to identify them and say, oh, yeah, there it is. There it is. That's not me. Yeah. I don't obey that one, right? Yeah. That's not me. Okay, good. I'm so glad it's not me.
It takes a lot of maturity to separate the being that is overpowering your life from you.
Yes.
It's not, and I don't mean, you know, I don't know, I'm not trying to claim whether what this being outside of us or in of us. I think so many of these beings are in our minds, are in our broken ways of thinking.
Yeah, but I think it's all, there's a dark side, there's a light side, and I think they all
true,
enemy.
But then these thought synapses, they get practiced, Serene.
Oh, they get practiced.
Then they're just good on their own. But I think the accuser definitely whispers these seeds that will kill us sometimes.
Yes.
Well, you know, Andrew Spudfit guy, he's not a Christian or anything as far as I know. I don't know him. Just sounds like a typical
Aussie.
He's a cursing Christian if he is. But he was talking about how part of his success, and he hadn't read these other books that I'm, you know, I don't think so, was he said, I had these voices in my head I'd always listened to, and I always thought that they were me and I had to obey them. Like, you know, you want, you've had that piece, you know, you want another piece. You know, you do. Come on, you, okay, you might as well finish, might as well have another beer. I mean, you, okay, last night you had the pizza, so you might as well have the donuts this morning. I mean, you're done. You're done. You might as well do it, okay? You can't stick to anything, you know? So he believed them.
Yeah.
And he's like, I figured out there are a bunch of lies. He used a few curse words. He's like, you know, they're your slimy, I don't want to say that. Okay, but he's like, he had some, I loved what he said about them. And one time he called it, oh, they're just like the devil on your shoulder. You know, they take, just so full of lies, and I realized I didn't have to listen. Yeah. It's like your slimy salesman. They're going to just tell you stuff, sell you something, then you're going to have to spend the rest of your life paying for that lemon.
Yeah.
And he's like, I decided not to listen anymore. Yeah. And I disobeyed the voices.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that goes along with, you know, so much of scripture too.
Mm, so
you know,
true.
Who, hemming up the scripture that says hemming up the loins of our mind and taking every thought captive, and every thought captive means, is that true? Is that lovely? Yeah. Is that good? Is
and
that
why
beneficial?
Are you hemming up? So those thoughts mm-hmm. that are dragging in the mud thoughts.
And so many times those thoughts are to do with food. Like yes. I call it the 2-year-old toddler screaming in my head. Well, you need that. You need that. I know you had your dinner, but you're still hungry and you're peckish.
Yeah, and it can be for anything. It can be for food. It can be for mood too. It can be like you so can scream at so and so right now.
Yeah, you deserve to be mad.
Yeah, and, but I love the fact that I liked the fact that I learned to separate that too. That and I like to separate the fact that not every yucky thought that came into my head was me.
Yeah,
that it actually, you know, the devil can throw darts through your mind, and as long as you're not nesting them, it's got nothing to do with you.
I love that.
Nothing to do with
you. Those of you who have ever listened to that preacher, Dan Moeller.
Yes.
Love the story he said, because, you know, he grew up with some, you know, he grew up pretty wild, I believe, you know, not a Christian.
Yeah.
And he became a pastor. He just really sunk himself into the word and loved the word. And he's like, I was always bothered by these thoughts in my head that weren't very Christian at all. And so he was a pastor, and he had to go to this church and speak. He was the visiting minister. And during the worship, right before he was about to get up, he remembered this porno video that he had watched as a young man. It went through his head like vividly. And he's like, you know, these thoughts came, well, you're definitely not worth standing up there and preach. You need counseling. You know, you're a pervert. Look at that. Look at that whole video going through your head right before you're going to get up in front of all these people. You better sit down. You better not go up there until you get some real repentance going on.
Yeah.
And then he thought to himself, well, nah, that's not me. I don't do that anymore. I don't watch that anymore.
And
too bad.
And it made him feel yucky. He didn't like it. He wasn't.
He's like, I don't like that coming to my head. So that means I'm not about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not about it anymore. So I'm going up. And he said, I preached the best sermon I've ever preached.
It's so interesting. Same guy, Dan Moeller, when he got saved, of course, he was like, wow, I've been forgiven of all this junk from my past. This is just so amazing. And so he felt this incredible, you know, the righteousness of Christ come over him. And then it was just a new Christian, you see, and he was reading through the Bible, and he got to the place where it says, but there is the unforgivable sin, the unpardonable of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So then he had this thought jump through his head where it wasn't from him, but these words, you know, cursing the Holy Spirit.
I curse you.
Yeah, I curse you, Holy Spirit, or like F the Holy Spirit or whatever.
Yeah. I renounce you.
And he was like, so in pain. He was like, no, that hurts me. No, that's not me. That's not my heart. Oh, and then feel this guilt, and he'd go into his prayer room to want to get close to the Lord, but he felt like all these voices cursing the Holy Spirit in his head. He's like, oh, and he struggled with it for so long, feeling like, oh no, I see, I finally got forgiven, but now I'm unforgivable, you know? So the enemy, until he felt like the Lord say to him, just because you're so upset about this shows that it's got nothing to do with you. These are not your thoughts. They're not your thoughts at all. So he just let him play. He was like, you know, at first he was just like round the clock, you know, doing warfare against them. But then it was just constant. Then the devil had him stuck, you see. I'm just like, all his attention was taken to renouncing. So he's like, oh, well, it's not me. Like, God kind of shared with me that it's got nothing to do with me because I'm upset about it. So obviously I didn't want any part of it. So he just let the record play. And he'd be there worshipping the Lord, and these words would come in his mind, and he'd be like, oh, who cares? Ignore you. And so he woke up one day after about 6 months, totally gone.
Yeah, it's like...
He just so... I love that. I love the fact that we can separate ourselves from all of that. Yeah.
Bye.
Love it. Bye. Trim up in all of my ways, and then I'll be trim up in mama to stay.